Homecoming by Adele Gardner. Last night, Dad came by. My sister and I rushed to meet him at the door, to catch him when he stumbled getting out of his galoshes. "It's wet out there," he said mildly, and my brother cried, "You're dead!" And so it was. I didn't have time to be nice. "Don't talk about that! Don't mention it! Don't say another word!" They wanted to protest, argue the morality of silence, but I leaped over them, back at Dad's side, to smooth his wrinkled brow as we had in the hospital, smoothing back the few strands of gray hair upon a dome that had been unnaturally hot and tight, his skin already hardening like plastic, red as it always got in summer, as he strained to breathe. This time, I flung back a look of reproach to ward off their worries, crouched beside him, murmuring it was all right, I was here, as I had done then. My sister pumped a red bicycle cylinder to inflate his lungs. "I don't know how long it'll last," she muttered to me, her long, thin fingers as gentle and precise with the incision in Dad's back that the doctors botched, as if she was feeding her fledglings, fallen from the nest, their legs crippled beyond repair. Yet still they lived, as she cupped them in her hands, taught them to sing, fed them, and answered every cry that spoke their zest for life. Dad woke startled, as he sometimes did from a sound sleep, so deep we had to shake him, call, "Daddy!" in his ear, and he'd jerk suddenly, call, "Was that?" in a muffled, sleepy voice. Still caught in his chest, his voice sounded hollow above the air wheezing at his back. But this was no zombie. This was Dad, chuckling deep as we helped him sit up in his crimson shirt, one of his favorites, and it hid nicely any blood the hospital or our procedure left behind. "What did I miss?" he asked me quietly, as my brothers argued about whether to bring their kids, and my mother, sister, and sister's boyfriend greeted him with loud and happy cheers, as if this was his birthday party. I glared at them, but I didn't dare to comment. It would only draw his attention to what they did. He was sharp. Sitting there, hands on his knees, like at the doctor's office, he watched their faces, eyes following one to another as he puzzled it out. I babbled quickly about a dust-up with a publisher, the Star Trek movie we'd planned to see together. Had his ghost sat with me? Remembering how those other times it was my tears, my gushing, "Daddy, Daddy, I've missed you! I love you so much!" that shocked him into dying again. He always wakes with amnesia of his death. Perhaps the only way that minds can cope. Is it like this for all the dead? They can't remember the end, or they'd remember what comes after. So now I prattle like a child. All the inconsequential things he's missed, our daily lives, anything except what I most longed to say back then, while he lay in the hospital, my throat tight with how much I loved and would miss him. How much his life made mine, lest the shock of what I said catapult him into death. How many more times can his body stand, being reinflated like a bald bicycle tire? How long can I bear not showing him my elation, my grief? But I couldn't stand seeing him so bewildered, in mute sorrow at odds with my fierce, unrepentant joy at seeing him simply live.